fizzy.
Yep.
And one more needed to hold my hunger pain. Can't find my phone, but.
You didn't leave it on stage, did you?
Leave it at the stage.
Okay.
Alright, I really don't have it though. Oh, good.
Okay.
Alright.
So I'm his scribe, because we're still doing old school.
All good.
So I'm his scribe.
All good.
Pen and paper, so.
That's okay. We got this. Don't worry about it.
I'm kind of wordy, so yeah, so I'll try to make sure I...
No.
Yeah, right, yeah.
We got you.
I sent you the questions ahead of time. I don't want to get too,
I kind of like guess, I just like breeze through. I prefer to not know them too much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So I give like, you know, I don't want to be like prepared.
Well, it's for me, it's just being a former journalism major and knowing how media is nowadays, it's a respect thing.
Oh, no, I get it.
So
get
like,
it.
I'm supposed to interview Bilal and Dole next week, so same thing. Like, send them the question just so I know what to ask.
I see Bilal and Dole possibly wanting
ahead of time.
Yeah, wanting a little ahead of time.
So that's feeling set up.
I'm all good.
All right, first. Thank you for taking the time to let me interview you and help me in my little journey, starting my website and getting it out there. So first question was, what was the inspiration for your music community group, The Process?
I think constantly looking at what's next. You know, like, technology is constantly shifting. For me, it's moving further away from the culture that we're used to.
Yeah.
A lot of my fan base I have because people heard me sing background for somebody, or I wrote for somebody. I mean, and now today, where nobody's reading credits, how will anybody know who did what? You know? So for me, it was like, what happens if we show everybody everything? Like, really show them the process of like how it is as a surviving songwriter and artist, the ups and the downs, you know, the projects that don't come out and the stuff that does, and ideas that we have, and how many ideas we have that don't see the light of day. You know, that was pretty much the whole reason behind it. And it, of course, it's changing to something else now, which is great.
Now,
come on in, Pop. It's changing to something else.
Just get rid of this cap.
And that's everything. Everything evolves. Even the idea that you have, you have this idea, where it's at in 2 years from now, it'll probably make it, you know, it has to settle. You know, and I like where the process is went.
Your second question is, some of the R&B artists you've written for include Charlie Wilson, Will Downing, and Dwale.
It's on the stage on the school.
I'm a big New Edition fan. Is there any songs in your catalog which you think would be perfect for New Edition?
The original version of Been in Love that we released in the process, but we never released it. And I mean, the song, I changed the song, but the original version definitely had a New Edition feel. We did a song in the process called, what is that? You Can Count On Me? It got a space, you know. No, this is about dancing, about movement. So it'll be any song that I had that's dancing. I mean, probably the song that I've done to me, like Borrow You, is a New Edition song. You know, Please Don't Leave Me is a New Edition song. Please don't leave. It was very much like
the step in.
When you think of, when I think of New Edition, it's that's the vibe I get.
Some hip-hop artists you worked with include Fonte, Cameron, and Will Smith. Which hip-hop artists are you currently listening to?
Oh, man. I'm listening to Fonte's Little Brother album.
Yes.
I mean, it's a solid record. And it's a fan of theirs.
One of the best of last year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was a fan before I was a friend, you know, of both of them. So just to have them back together, I'm like really happy. And then back together, and it makes such a solid record. Like,
good. Yeah, he misses his ninth.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, and the beautiful thing with that, which I'm sure you can listen to any interview with them, is that I think they kind of understood, and it was like they all kind of grew and for it to work. It was like let Knife kind of do
his thing.
It was like it was been taking a step backwards, and it was respectful in all aspects that I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Knife later on was like, dang, I kind of wish I was a part of it, but I think everybody's still love all there. Yeah. Little Brother, you know, what's his name? Earl Sweatshirt?
Can't get an Earl.
Well, I can't get an Earl. Would you?
Just can't get an Earl.
I've been listening to Earl Sweatshirt. I mean, I listen to everybody. So
I'll say what it is. Is now that I'm a parent, and now that I'm
older, no, right.
A lot of stuff that comes out nowadays hurts my soul. To listen to that type of stuff, because it's affecting my, because you know, my son's always with me, so
right,
I play stuff for him. So it's like if I get a bad vibe from that, I really don't rock with it.
Babe, can you order me just any keto friendly thing?
Salmon and vegetables.
Perfect. Bless your life.
So anything like I'm mainly old school. Some stuff I listen to, like, you know, I bump Fonte, anything that Foreign Exchange, when I listen to them, the Roots, but like Eminem, Tyler, can't do it. It's just. It hurts my soul to listen to that, and I don't get a good feeling, so I, you know, kind of tune it out.
I get it. Yeah, it's tough to, lots of you can't play around your kids.
Yeah.
You know, especially even old school, like, I'm a big Sarrange fan. I can't, there's not one song I play for my kids yet. Mm-hmm. That'd be a time where, because, I mean, Busta Rhymes, that man cursed like a sailor, but
yeah.
Stuff was so funky. But, yeah, I mean, I listen to, if it's out, I kind of, at least from my ear to it one time. Yeah.
In addition to your solo career in 2013, you worked with Fred Hammond, Dave Hollister, and Brian Cordelis on the vastly underrated United Tenors album. A few years later, you worked with Fonte on the Tigaloro album. Do you have plans to collaborate with any other artists in the near future for an album or an EP?
Hopefully back with them. I think, you know, the Little Brother reunion, it's kind of delayed the next Tigaloro album, which is fine, obviously, right? Because I love Lil Brother. But I think we both realize that it's important to do that album. As well as United Tenors, I'm more than open to do it again. I think that might be a more further shot away. Me and Avery Sunshine have been in like constant talks. We talk the way me and Fonte used to talk. Like, man, we just gotta figure out something to do. We gotta figure out, you know what I mean? So I wouldn't be surprised. And me and Avery probably, you know, we probably got 5 or 6 like just unfinished ideas that we kind of threw each other's way. So I would probably say if I was a betting man, Avery Sunshine, she and I would do something, but I'm open, man. You know, for me, I'm very much where the wind blows. So, you know, it might be a whole different album with somebody else, but if I was a betting man, I'd probably say Avery Sunshine.
Nice. Can you give me some background on recording When Love Calls with the late, great Jay Dilla?
I posted about it yesterday. You know, it's funny, I never met him. We talked, and I knew him through my boy D. Prosper. And I actually got the music to When Love Calls the same time I got the music for Pretty Girl. And James Poison was the one who gave it to me. And it was very, like, just rough ideas. He was like, hey, man, I got this. Come on in. Got this. These ideas I've been doing with Jay Dilla. You know, you want to write to him? I was like, of course, you know. Of course. And I think that was also the introduction to me meeting Dilla. Like, he was like, yo, man, I like the joints that you did. It's funny. When Love Calls, I wrote right after I met my wife. I just met her, and you know, me and her both were kind of getting over heartbreaks. And it was funny because it was the first song I wrote about her.
Yeah.
And it was like, if you listen to it, it's almost kind of, I wasn't prepared for this. I didn't ask for this, but I recognize what it is. Mm-hmm. I recognize, like, you know, so it's more of like When Love Calls. It was almost like if I knew it was coming, I'd have ran from it. But it got me cornered, so I'm kind of like accepted, and I'm glad it's here. You know what I mean? But I had to get out of the way of myself and out of my pain and to really accept it. So it was just, it was a song that to me really unlocked a whole nother avenue of songs for me. It's crazy. I have songs that like was a doorway for other songs. Was a doorway for other songs.
Yeah, you need some butter, but don't eat
the
rice. I'm so sorry.
No, ma'am, you're fine.
Yeah,
so the vegetables is on, but
don't mind my ribs.
I'm
waiting for y'all to leave so I can come back here.
I got you.
I don't know if I really. I show vulnerability from. I've been hurt before. I wrote that before. But I don't know if I would show vulnerability in like healing. I don't know if I wrote that was like the first of that of that. And I've probably written thousands of songs of it since then. But there's always like some writing that's like a doorway to like your growth. You know, and that song was that.
How's the songwriting course going at Berklee?
Great. Very rewarding. You know, what I didn't expect is how much mental energy teaching was going to take. And I find myself thinking about classes all the time. Like, I just walk off stage Saturday night and I'm thinking about that Wednesday. Because, you know, the crazy thing is I remember being 19 and 20, 21 years old. And having that dream and working on my craft. So when I take it very serious, what I'm trying to teach them, and then when they have a question, I see the passion, how important the answer is to them.
Yeah.
So if I don't have the answer, I gotta make sure I find it quick.
Right.
And if I do have the answer, I make sure I word it the right way to strengthen their steps. Yeah.
One of the things I respect about your live game is the use of an actual band. Mm. What are your thoughts on singers who do track shows?
It's their prerogative. I mean, if somebody, I don't like to do track shows, but if I did the Tom Joyner Cruise 2 years ago, I think it was. If I knew better, I'd have done a track date because that's the culture of the boat.
Yeah,
it wasn't a live. So me saying I wanted a live band, and then putting me with another band that's on the boat, who just was a band on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't necessarily like we had a chemistry. Let's say nothing was wrong with them or nothing wrong. Right. Me just but the culture of the place, SWV, Vogue, Raheem, Dwell, everybody got the track. I just didn't know that this was that kind of environment. So I mean, we gonna throw down regardless. You know, I prefer to have my brothers on stage and my sisters on the stage with me. And I think the difference in live music is that there's a chance for a left turn. If you're doing a track, you can't change it so much. You're pretty much, you have to go where the track goes. With live music, if something happens and something feels good and you want to take it higher or move whatever, you can do it with live.
That's one of my biggest things is, whenever I go to a concert, I always see if they're gonna have a band or a track show.
Yeah.
And we went to see BBD and Brian from Killing Me Bad last month. And it was just Brian and like three dancers. And it was a track show.
Wow.
And he was singing. And like you were saying, like he was singing off key. Mm. And the city was just playing in the background. And people were laughing, they were booing. And I'm like,
oh my.
Like, why are you doing a track show?
Brian, the white guy from Killing Me Bad?
Yeah, the other white guy. Not Brian, Mark.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Brian's the guy that pushed Mark on stage like 2 years ago.
Also, I just saw, did that happen 2 years ago? I just saw it.
Yeah, so it was just Mark.
So wait, so what? When he pushed him, were they like performing together or he just showed up and pushed
him? Like, I guess he, Brian exited the stage left. They're singing, "I'm gonna sex you up," and then he just comes out and pushes him down. He's like, "I am CMB, MF-er," and then he, you know, walks off the stage.
You know what's so crazy is that I think it's crazy because their brand is so fragile. They can't afford
to do stuff.
Eternal
like that.
Fighting
amongst each other.
You know, it's like, I don't know. That's really weird. But yeah, I mean,
so track shows are big.
But you know, you might see somebody who can, you know, tear a track show up. You know, like Raheem's track show, interesting enough, where it's funny enough, he pretty much had his whole track show to be set up like a live show.
Yeah.
So he's kind of situated, but yeah, it's tough. I mean, if I got my way, 90% of the time I'm gonna be on stage with.
And you know, I can see that. And talking to I know Genuine's percussionist, and he was telling me how a lot of times it's just the time that we have. It's allotted. It's best to do a track show because we don't have, you know, I'm not gonna bring a band for like a 25, 30 minute.
And Genuine's in the culture where I don't think the crowd is even looking for a live band.
Yeah, he just gets up there and do Pony, and then
he's like,
good, even though he has other stuff. What's on your musical docket for 2020?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, you know, releasing LNS.
Just digital and vinyl, or you can do CDs also?
I'm still trying to figure that out. I think we probably need to do CDs. What do you think? Do they actually put CDs as well?
I would do CDs just for folks in the process, and then maybe do the do CDs for folks in the process like you were doing before. You would send them out and sign them.
Yeah.
Do vinyl, and then do digital, and then if people buy like the artwork is so esoteric and so sensual. For the cover,
yeah.
Maybe do the painting and say if you buy the painting, then you get a free CD.
Yeah. I was still trying to figure all that out. I think, you know, and you know what's crazy is like, just like I was saying out there, it's like I'm re-falling in love with the album. So, you know, I was, for a second, like, man, I kind of wish I didn't have this album so I could put out other music. You know what I mean? But I think I'm really releasing other music too this year. Like, you know, this album is gonna be a main focus, but just got too much stuff. You know what I mean? Too much stuff. So, you know, wherever the creative vibe takes me, it's kind of where 2020 is gonna be. I'm interested. I mean, 21 is gonna be the 20th anniversary. So, I think that's gonna be very retrospective, and you know, but this year is just kind of just creating, just trying to create as much as possible.
Is there any musical artist you like to portray in a biopic or someone's story you like to see someone portraying?
It's funny because I don't know if I look like them or sound like them, but I mean, Sam Cooke. Sam Cooke is probably number one for me. I think there's a tough part of that. I want to say his manager or family, or there hasn't been one about him because it's family.
Yeah.
You know,
Sam Martin.
And then they're not releasing, they're not giving approval to use the stuff. Paul Robeson, who studied a great, great deal. And I feel like to a degree, there's like, you know, we're both from the same part of North Carolina, both moved to New Jersey, you know, both played football, theater, and sang. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's like a lot of stuff that our lives are enormously different. There's a lot of similarities where I'm like, man, I would love to kind of, you know, kind of take on that. But Sam Cooke's the first one to me. Just his life, it needs to be shared more. And it was such a complicated and amazingly talented person. It's open. I'm kind of open to that.
Yeah, I'm waiting on Della's story to be told.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean,
and only because I don't think people really got a chance to experience his genius outside of hip-hop, you know, the hip-hop circle. And I'm like, I tell people, like, you know, it was three albums that got me through my first appointment when I was in the Air Force. That was Donuts, The Shining, and New Edition Heartbreak. Those were the three albums that got me through my first deployment when I was in the desert, because it was just like, you're in, and Jay-Z Kingdom Come, because you're in the desert, so you have time to fully digest
right.
music, because it's nothing but heat and
goodness and gracious.
Heat and sand.
It's amazing the rewards that this music gives us. I tell people a lot of times that, like, you may not see the reward, but the reward's there. Mm-hmm. Like, you made that music, and like that it got you through such a tough time, you know. But you know, it's crazy that you know, people don't realize also how much great music Dylan made when he was really, really sick.
like near death and was still making music. He literally did music till like his final breath.
Yep.
You know, and that's I mean, it just needs to be told. It really needs to be told. I mean, there's so many stories out there, but somebody needs to grab the bull by the horn and go like, hey, let's try to put together
a story.
Whether it's a movie or whether it's just a documentary that really covering it.
I'm surprised Common or Q-Tip or somebody hasn't tried to do his story yet.
I think it's been too close for them. You know, it's like Common, you notice Common doesn't do much. He doesn't do much about it. And it's funny because we're distant from him.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I think, you know, it's tough when somebody really was your brother. You know, like, they're going to live years with Common. You know, Common Kelly. They live together, so hopefully comes enough time where there's enough distance where he can maybe breathe enough to, you know, really do it.
Actually, I just got two more. Well, three. Mm-hmm. Will you ever release your first album from 1994, or is that stuck with Warner Brothers?
I don't have it. You know, it's not even Warner Brothers. It's really, you know, sadly, I mean, a lot of stuff is unfinished. Right, I was like in between deals and stuff like that. But when I moved to Atlanta, when I was leaving Atlanta to move back to Philly, which is 98. Oh my fuck, I broke into the night when I was leaving.
They took the NBI, right?
They took the book bag that had every song I ever did up to that point, everything I did in high school. Cause it was literally, I was packing to leave. So I had this really big leather book bag, huge leather book bag. And I mean, it had every DAT, had every cassette tape, had everything in it. And the only thing that was left out of it was, so I had these ADAT tapes of the song Penalty that I posted once on Process. One of the ADAT tapes of the three, because back then it was eight. So if you did 24 tracks, it was an eight track. One tape was eight. One eight track was left on the seat. Everything else was gone. And I mean, I probably could find, you know, the girlfriend at the time, or ask enough of my homies, you know, if they had cassette tapes of it. It wouldn't be like a DAT, it wouldn't be like a clear copy. So yeah, it's like, it took a long time to accept that stuff was gone. Like, just gone. Like, you know, I said, you know what? It's gone, just start over. We gotta start from song one. And yeah, and it's funny because even I've had laptops stolen on the road and stuff since then, and like, you know, we had some songs on the air that weren't backed up, and it's tough to go back and like redo that kind of stuff. Like, yeah. You know, it's like even like the moon, like I have a 2-inch reel for the moon. I have the vinyls. I have some like actual cassettes, like from the actual thing. But anything we actually did in the studio when we recorded it, all that was in that bag. It's all gone. Yeah, it's crazy. It was crazy. It was probably just a crackhead. He probably just threw it in the street. He probably looked for some money away. Threw it away like down the street. Yeah. You know. So yeah, it's unfortunate.
Alright, is there anything you wanna add?
Oh man, just love what I'm doing, man. Appreciate the interview.
Thank you. Like I said, it's the first one. I told people outside I gotta go in and transcribe it and post it. I'm gonna post it in the Process probably Monday.
Okay.
And then I'll post it on my site Monday.
And I'll put it up so it's on the main page as well. So you post it in the community, but I'll grab it and put it on the.
Cool.
On the
thank website. You. Thank
yeah.
you.
That's all right. Good.
All right, a few things. Do you have a copy of the tonight's set list I can get for my review?
We might. We'll put it away. The set list is changing, but I'll give you take a snapshot of this. All right. And you'll see how it might change from. Take a snapshot of that. So is it the way it's changing?
Yeah, I just like to for tags and all that. You mind signing my covers?
No problem. I can get a shot real quick.
I think this is the entire collection besides the digital. Did you want?
Oh wow!
You signed all the rest of them because I bought them directly from the ones I bought at shows and all of that.
And once he finishes getting himself established, he'll be contacting you about payroll and my benefits.
I know that's right. I know that's right. You gotta make sure you take care of mama. This is my oldest son, Rock.
Oh, hey.
Rock.
Look,
you
gotta, he wants his juice box.
Look, right. You wanna shake hands or anything?
Nice hey, sweetie, how are you? Oh, nice firm handshake. Yeah.
You don't ever go to, how can we rather go into the vault stuff and the vault and
esoteric? We need to do more. I think, you know, it's funny with the 20th anniversary, I think we'll probably do more. You know, there was a time we did all those albums, you know, the whole thing. It's just, I guess, trying to figure out how much of the crowd wants that or knows it, you know what I mean? I think Obstacles, I probably wrestled with it, like, with even for this set list today. Like, we probably should have added Obstacles. It's just, it's so many albums, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. So many albums trying to figure it out. And it was a period where, like, we'd do, like, and then also, like, what song from it? We do Couldn't Hear Me on the Music, or Deaf Ears, but there's so much of it, you know what I mean?
Can't hate everything. Yeah. Stuff as it is.
Well, we'll be up there for 8 hours, you know what I mean?
Well, no, as long as we hit the main, so that's all that really,
Yeah.
That's the important thing. I was reading this interview with Otis from The Temptations. He said one time they made a mistake and I'm doing My Girl.
You can't leave.
That's what he said. He said they literally almost chased them down because they didn't.
Wow.
My Girl.
I get it. Well, you know, and this is all the tough part where it's like, you know, for me being independent, there's never been like your outright singles. Picture Perfect was like my outright single. Borrow You because Michael Bazin played it so much. But for the most part, it's kind of like you put an album out and then you pick what your favorite is. And we might push one song, but the crowd really tells you what the single was. So, you know, the album comes out and say it's 12 songs. And out of that 12, one person says this is their favorite, another person says this. And it's like 6 different songs. So, you know, somebody's gonna leave not satisfied. It's just, you know, it's an album.
Nature of the Beast.
Yeah, the first time I saw you was with Michael Bazin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this boy can sign.
I owe that brother so much, you know. Mm-hmm. He really opened up a whole platform for us.
So you have any appointments for dealing with Dwele and Bilal? Are they very?
Nah, you'd be very surprised. I mean, especially Bilal. Bilal doesn't seem like that. When you know that he sees so spacey, but man, you said he's sharp. You know his stuff, and yeah. I mean, I would just say the same way you interviewed me.
I just want to make sure you know they're not. Out there.
Nah, they parents just like me. They. I said Bilal can have his time. You know, a lot of his time, but for the most part, when you sit down and talk with him, he's gonna answer, like, he's gonna dig in. But you know, it's funny because you talk to two guys who actually really knew Dilla, and you know, they got such rich histories in other ways that I don't have. So I mean, the interview could really go, you know, a couple of different directions. I'll just say enjoy though. They great dudes, both of them.
Cool beans.
You
know,
thanks again, man.
Hey, appreciate you, man.
Thank you for helping him out, Mr. Eric. I appreciate you. Absolutely.
All right, enjoy the show.
Oh, we will, yes, most sir. Definitely. Thank you.